We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by TheraOne, NFL Sunday Ticket, and Bet Online. I am your host, Rohan Kadia, and not joining me today is my co-host, Ty Windisch, as you could probably tell, because he's usually the one that does the intros. Today's gonna be a little bit of a solo pod. I'm coming to you after the Bucks beat the Orlando Magic in Game 5, finishing up this series in a gentleman's sweep as they look to move on to face the Miami Heat in the second round. The Bucks beat the Magic 118-104. However, this is not really a normal circumstance, given nothing is a normal circumstance, considering that the NBA playoffs are occurring in a bubble in Orlando. And, you know, there's a pandemic and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of problems going on right now. And one of the things that was addressed this week was the Milwaukee Bucks actually walking out of their original time to play Game 5 against the Orlando Magic on Wednesday. They walking out because of the shooting at the hands of police of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which is just the backyard of the Milwaukee Bucks. And they made a statement. They felt like their voices were not being heard as much, so they felt like they needed to make a point to change something, make something that would let them stand out. And what they did is they decided not to play in their original Game 5 time on Wednesday. which caught everyone off guard. Not really anyone knew what they were doing, like, beforehand. Not even the Milwaukee Bucks players knew that they were going to do this beforehand, a lot of them. But they did it. They sent a message. They stayed in the locker room for over 3 hours, according to reports, before they came out to make a statement. As the news started to come out that they were indeed going to not be playing this game, other teams had to make a decision as well about whether they were going to play their games or not. Oklahoma City and Houston, they decided they weren't going to play their game. And by that time, the decision was already out of their hands as the NBA postponed all of the games that were occurring on Wednesday and even Thursday and Friday. So here we are on a Saturday, and the Bucks are returning to play, and they had their message sent. While they were in the locker room, they were getting into contact with a lot of high-ranking officials in the state of Wisconsin, and they were trying to let actual change happen, because we live in a world where there's blatant discrimination at the hands of law enforcement that occur because of just simply the color of one's skin. And the Bucks and their players, and collectively the rest of the NBA players in the bubble, they decided that they were going to make their voices heard about that. So what they decided to do was they decided to strike their game. The Bucks originally wanted it to be a forfeit, just a single one-off thing. The Orlando Magic did not accept that out of respect and solidarity, and the rest of the players and the teams followed suit. What happened in the meetings between the players and the owners, we'll never really know the true story, but what we do know is that the Bucks and the rest of the teams in the bubble are resuming play, and the NBA is forming a new coalition to deal with social justice issues. And they've also turned every arena that has that the team owns, that like each individual team owns, all of those arenas will be turned into polling stations in the general election in November. So they're trying to enact actual change, and those things only came about because the players decided to have their voices heard again. Even the Bucks in general, when they, in their statement after being in the locker room for over 3 hours, they called out the Wisconsin state legislature. And after that, they actually decided to convene, the legislation did. So there's actual change being made, actual progress being made, and the players are realizing their power. And the NBA was sort of, you know, taking it away. It was approved social justice, the names on the back of their jerseys, what messages can and can't be there. So the players sort of felt like, you know what, their voices weren't being as heard as much, and now they're being heard again. And I fully support them. I know Ty fully supports them. And we here on the Eurostep proudly support the players and their actions, starting with the Milwaukee Bucks in their original Game 5. Okay. One other thing that has happened, getting back to basketball-related news, which is not the most important thing. Since the last time we recorded, there was another award announced. An NBA award was announced. It was the Defensive Player of the Year. And as Ty and I sort of figured out was going to happen on this podcast in the previous weeks, months, however long time is going on, I don't really know at this point, but Giannis won the Defensive Player of the Year. He became, I think, the fifth player in NBA history to have a career Defensive Player of the Year and MVP, joining Michael Jordan, Kevin Garnett, Hakeem, and David Robinson. So, and Kevin Garnett, I think I said Kevin Garnett. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. If anything, I'm just a little bit disappointed that Brooke Lopez received 4 third place votes, and that's it? Because Patrick Beverley, he great defensive player, received 1 first place vote for Defensive Player of the Year. Bam Adebayo received 2 votes. Ben Simmons gets 1 vote. Brooke Lopez gets 4 third place votes. Not even 1 second place votes, which probably means that he's not going to make all defense, which is just or at least not going to make first team all defense, which is just terrible. Honestly, he was the best rim protector in the entire freaking league. And like, I'm not going to say that Giannis didn't deserve this award, because he did, and he won by a landslide. He got 75 first place votes. The next highest was Anthony Davis with 14. So it was just, it was a landslide. But yeah, that's really cool. And I guess not since it hasn't been announced yet, but it's kind of assumed that Giannis is going to win MVP for the second consecutive season. So just the awards keep racking up. This guy, he's 25 years old. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not, but he is still only 25 years old. He becomes the second Buck in history to win the award, after the first two Defensive Player of the Year awards went to the Squids, Sidney Moncrief, in 82-83 and 83-84 seasons. So yeah, that's amazing. He, you know, it was well-deserved. He's an insane help defender. He's an insane rim protector. It's well-deserved. If anything, I'm just disappointed that Brook Lopez didn't get more love, because he definitely deserved more love. Even in his little video acceptance thing that they did on TNT, he was sort of like, yeah, thanks for having my back, Brooke, or something to that. Something like that, he said. So, yeah, Giannis won Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know what schedule they're going with on award announcements, because it doesn't seem like it's any real schedule or anything, unless I'm missing something. If so, just tweet me. But yeah, we've so far, Coach of the Year has been announced, and Defensive Player of the Year has been announced. So congratulations to Giannis for winning Defensive Player of the Year. And I know he says it's a team award. It is a team award, like, in this respect, because the Bucks did have the best defense, and Brook Lopez was, you know, an integral part of this. So I guess we are caught up with everything in regards to what happened before this game. I think I've covered everything. So I guess we can talk about the actual game now. Game 5, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Orlando Magic 118-104 to complete the series. They win in 5 games. They should have won in 4 games, whatever. I'm not mad, you are. But yeah, it just seemed like a run-of-the-mill Bucks win, because even though we hadn't seen this team play in almost a week, they still started to look more like their old selves again. We saw Chris Middleton get 21 points after he had 18 in the fourth quarter of game 4. So we thought, hey, maybe he's going to get it going a bit. He had 21 tonight. I guess this afternoon, again, time, I don't know what it is. Giannis with 28, 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 turnovers. I guess the assist to turnover isn't great, but you know what? It's fine. He was a monster tonight. 11 of 17 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. He continues to shoot the lights out from distance in this series, which is just, it's just wild to see. The Orlando Magic it was a close game after one quarter. It was 26-21. But the second quarter is where they really blew it open. Milwaukee put up 41 points in the second quarter compared to Orlando's 29. 41 points in a quarter, which is just, it's insanely, it's just wild, because like that's a lot of points, obviously. But it's just, it's nice to see the offense start to get into a flow a bit. If there's anything that I can really take away from this game, it's that the lineups are still terrible. I do not know why in the first half of this game we were seeing Ersan playing. You know, Ty and I were talking on previous episodes, I think it was after game 2, that we saw that Ersan didn't really play at all, only coming in at garbage time, and We thought he was out of the rotation, and we were really happy, because he's not going to provide you any value in a playoff series. Ersan is, especially when Marvin Williams is doing fantastic. Ty and I were texting before the game, and he wanted this to be included in the episode. It's like when we were talking about thinking Ersan is being taken out of the rotation. He said it's like if you think you're getting a puppy, and instead you get student loan debt. So just, it's just. it's wild to see that Ersan still gets minutes. I mean, given he was the only Buck in the first half to have a negative plus minus. So I don't know what he really brings to the table at this point, especially because Marvin Williams is playing so, so well. He was 4 of 8 from the floor today. He was 4 of 5 from three. So he was just missing. Just he missed 1 3, and he missed two other shots. So he also had like 7 rebounds and he had a key offensive rebound. He was just playing good defense. He had this one insane block where I think it was James Ennis was just like, he was caught on the baseline. And he just tried to put up a shot at the end of the shot clock, and Marvin Williams just took it out of the air because James Ennis had like barely jumped. It was weird. It was wild to see that Ersan was playing. I do have more to say about the rotation, but I don't know. It makes me feel a little upset. And when you get upset, you can get anything from, you know, tight muscles and everything. So what you need to do is you need to relax. Because everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore. So everyone can benefit from TheraOne's CBD products. Started by Dr. Jason Worslin, TheraBody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help soothe your body and relax your mind. It started with the revolutionary Theragun percussive therapy device when Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments. He created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. A lot of CBD products claim organic but still contain up to 30% filler, and these fillers are potentially toxic. TheraOne tests their products 4 times before they get to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the US, and their CBD extracts are the highest quality available anywhere. Use TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, body balm for targeted relief, and sleep tinker to drift into a deep night's sleep. And now, through Labor Day, Monday, September 7th, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products. But you've got to go to theragun.com/bluewire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. This is not something that TheraOne is likely to do again. Buy one, get one free at theragun.com/bluewire, but only until Labor Day. Go right now to theragun.com/bluewire. And you know what else is not, compared to not coming back, which is Theragun's deal, you know what is coming back is NFL football. Sundays are coming back in the NFL. With NFL Sunday Ticket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels, never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to get the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. I'm not a seasoned veteran like Ty at doing those mid-rolls, so, you know, he can get those crisp segues in there, but I'm starting to learn a little bit. So before the break, I was sort of talking about how Ersan and just the rotations in general were not, you know, doing that well, and that really came to a head in the fourth quarter. So I think at at the start of the fourth quarter, the Bucks were up 13, which, you know, sure, that's fine. Like, you know, that's a good sizable lead. You know, everyone was starting to roll a little bit. Giannis was getting into a little bit of foul trouble. I think he had, he had his fifth foul called with under a minute left in the third quarter. But, you know, still 13-point lead. You're fine. You've been up at max like 21 points in this game. In fact, being up 13 is a little bit of a disappointment. But you know what? You'll live with it. So, yeah, like I said, start of the fourth quarter, they're up 13. And then all of a sudden, with 7:39 left in the game, it is 96-93. It is a 3-point game. So what happened there? What happened is that the coaching staff for the Milwaukee Bucks decided to bring out their fun bench lineups again, for some reason. So it was, I think the lineup was, what was it, Pat Connaughton, Kyle Korver, Ersan, George Hill, and Brooke Lopez. I've said this before, but I do not know what those lineups are supposed to do, and they got killed. This is the Orlando Magic we're talking about right now, and these bench lineups are getting destroyed. So what happens, obviously the Bucks are going to be moving on to play the Miami Heat now. So what do you do in those situations where it's a better team? And even if the Orlando Magic are killing these teams, what is the Miami Heat going to do to these lineups? What are the Raptors or Celtics going to do to these lineups? What are the Lakers or whoever comes out of the West, what are they going to do with these lineups? This is not really a good sign, considering this is a game where you really wanted to wrap the series up, right? You want to just, complete it in five and you're already cruising. This is just, it's been a constant problem with Milwaukee throughout Mike Budenholzer's tenure, in that he just loves his bench players. Given it's not really, it hasn't been extremely detrimental this season yet, because we haven't really gotten to the games that matter yet. We saw last season in the playoffs, given different personnel, obviously. But we saw that when they went to bench players and starters not playing as much, that's what ultimately led to their downfall. Shout out to Binge the Bucks. Always makes its way back. But we saw that this Magic team, who was already sort of mentally checked out at this point, they were like rough fouls, which is, there was a flagrant on Terrence Ross, who was trying to get back at Markelle Fultz not being called for a foul, I think. But and it wasn't even worthy of a flagrant. He just pushed Chris a little on a fast break. I don't know. It's fine. I guess Tony Brothers making a call in favor of Milwaukee is not something that I should be complaining about, but I didn't really think it was a flagrant. But, Orlando realizes that they're not going to win this series. They're already down 3-1 and they're getting beat. So I don't really understand how that team is almost coming back into a game. This was a 1-point game with less than 8 minutes to go. Like I said, 93-96, Milwaukee in front. After it came down to a 3-point game, Milwaukee did make a timeout. They decided to bring in some starters again. Like Wes Matthews came in for Pat Connaughton, and right before that, Marvin Williams came in for Ersan, Bledsoe came in. So it was nice to see that Bud realized that, you know what, maybe I can't really roll with all of these, bench guys, because, we're currently on the brink of losing the lead, in the third quarter is a 21-point lead. So I don't really know if that's progress or that's like, oh man, I guess I have to do something now because the eighth-seeded Orlando Magic missing two starters are coming back into this game. So it's frustrating, especially because we know that the Miami Heat, I'll get into this in a little bit, but we know that Miami poses a tough matchup for Milwaukee. And just having these points in the game, these like solid stretches in the game where you're just giving the other team points by putting in these lineups, it's baffling that it still happens. And honestly, it's probably still going to happen as we move into the later rounds. And will that be the downfall of the Bucks? Who knows? But that's one thing I could point to right now that is a glaring problem. So we covered this ad nauseum in our post-game 4 pod. because, you know, the Bucks had a 3-1 lead, but it was still disheartening to see that it was sort of competitive at the end, like sort of a close game of points. And that we saw that again today. Like, I guess they went on a big run at the end and they did end up winning this game by, what was it, 14 points, which I guess is fine. You made up that deficit. But again, Orlando had already checked out. They're all ready to go back. They're ready to leave the bubble. You know, I think the policy is that they should already have their bags packed. Like, they have their bags packed ready to leave the bubble because they're in an elimination game. And they're ready to, you know, like, see their families again and be able to, like, you know, I guess safely be a part of society in the sense that you get to not be restricted to the bubble. But, yeah, it was so disheartening to see that even in these sort of situations, we still get those horrendous all-bench lineups that they just make everyone upset at this point. Like, I'm starting to get used to it, used to being upset about this, which is kind of a problem, in my opinion. But who am I? Who am I to say? I'm just a podcast host. So I guess I alluded to this earlier. Miami Heat, tough matchup for Milwaukee. They will be playing on Monday, so quick turnaround. Monday evening, I think. It's so on brand for me not to know what time the game is at. Whatever. They're playing on Monday. I think it's Monday at like 5-ish something. If I'm wrong, which I probably am, I apologize, but it's not loading for me right now to pull it up. But yeah, so this is the matchup that I really have been dreading all season. During the hiatus, we had a lot of time to think about, you know, if the playoffs do resume, what's going to happen? And I just started to get more and more scared of the Heat. I guess let me sort of detail why. Well, so the first time that the Bucks beat the Heat this season was in that wild comeback in the seeding games. Like, does that count as the season? The seeding, whatever. It's semantics. It's just, I don't know. The Miami Heat pose a tough matchup, especially for Milwaukee, and I think that's really mainly because of their combination of BAM plus shooters, like high volume off the dribble, catch and shoot, whatever you need, shooters. The two guys that pop up really right away are obviously Duncan Robinson, who's decided that he is the greatest shooter on planet Earth. Tyler Hero. I don't know if you Wisconsin people have ever heard of Tyler Hero. But yeah, those two can make, especially Duncan Robinson, they just make ridiculous shots. And Eric Spoelstra, credit to him, great coach. He makes it a priority, especially early in games, to really get, just to get them going, get the shooters going. It's like that old, I can't believe I'm about to do this, I'm not a football guy, but it's like that weird thing, like, apparently it's not real, about like establishing like the run before the pass or something. This is like, apparently that's not even true. I don't know. I don't know if I'm just outing myself as not knowing anything about football right now, but I guess I just did. But they're establishing the three-pointer early in games. And they make it so teams have to, like opposing teams have to really worry about their shooters the entire game. They make it a point to get them in rhythm early in the game, as soon as possible, which just opens up everything for Jimmy and Bam. And speaking of Jimmy and Bam, great, great players. They were both all-stars this season. Jimmy is a seasoned all-star, but Bam made his first all-star team this season. He's a candidate for most improved, he's a finalist, I guess I should say, for most improved player of the year. Great defender. They've been playing him at the five mostly. It's just they've just realized that it's like, you know what, let's just go for it. Because the best lineups for the Miami Heat involve Bam at the five. So they're just like, whatever, let's just do it. It's fine. But Jimmy Butler has really decided after making like no threes the entire regular season, he's decided to start shooting 57.1% from deep this postseason, which is scary because he's an like as an off one thing that really bothers Milwaukee and led to their downfall last season because of Kawhi was just off the dribble threes. Because when they just set a screen and Brook drops, and you know the ball handler can just take a pull up three, that just kills Milwaukee's defense every time. And Kawhi made enough of those shots last season, but Jimmy seems like he's going to be capable of making those shots against Milwaukee based on what he's done so far. I don't know if it's just like the shooter's gym mentality that's being touted about the bubble, but my guy, shout out Jimmy Butler, Marquette guy, always a fan, shot 24.4% from deep during the regular season, which is just atrocious. Like, it's terrible. And then to go to over 57% in the playoffs, like, did he just during quarantine just take like 5 billion threes a day? Actually, no, we would know because Jimmy Butler's the guy who likes to know that he's working harder than all of you. So he would post videos or like tell us about how he got up at like 1:17 a.m. to go shoot like 5,000 threes and then go take like a 30-second nap because that's all he needs because he needs to go work hard and then go take another couple thousand shots while also, you know, having like some weights on his back or something because he needs to carry this team. And then he just does that repeatedly until he just, you know, he feels like he's done enough, but he never feels like he's done enough. So then he gets right back at it. But yeah, Jimmy's shooting an insane 57.1% from deep the postseason, and he's also Jimmy Butler is a great defender, which is a little problematic considering I think what they're gonna do is they're gonna put Jimmy on Middleton and they're gonna put Bam on Giannis. So they're taking their two best defenders and putting them on the opposing team's best two players. You know what? Which is actually just a wild concept being a Bucks fan. Like, wow, you can put your best defender on the opposing team's best player? Like, imagine if you just had a defensive player of the year that you could just throw at someone. I don't know. Someone talked to Mike Budenholzer about that. Shout out to Mike Budenholzer, friend of the pod. We have determined that he listens to this podcast. But yeah, it was just... It seems like they're just gonna cause a lot of havoc because Bam has shown at times to be a little bit of trouble for Giannis, but it based on you know that one seeding game, not really a big sample size, but it seems like Bam isn't really a problem for Giannis anymore, considering that when the Bucks finally decided to turn on their intensity, they just completely walloped the Miami Heat. Given Jimmy didn't play in that game, I should probably say that. But in terms of like the defense on Giannis, there was no real problem there. And who knows, maybe Jimmy's defense won't really make a difference if Chris Middleton can't really get going. But if anything needs to happen in this series in particular, it's that Eric Bledsoe needs to get going. What they've started to do recently in their series against Indiana, which they swept. Like, imagine a higher seed sweeping the opposing team. Wild to Bucks fans. Sorry, I'm being a little over dramatic here. They did win in five, but yeah, it was. They started having Goran Dragic, you know, start again after, you know, being relegated to the bench for a majority of the regular season. Kendrick Nunn, who has weirdly just completely fallen out of Miami's rotation altogether after being like on a lot of people's ballots for Rookie of the Year, I'm sure, because who knows when awards are being announced. But Dragic is back in the starting lineup and he's been fantastic. But one thing Eric Bledsoe needs to do, he needs to torch his former Suns teammate. Were they? Yeah, they were all on the Suns at the same time. It was that weird point guard thing with him, IT, and Bledsoe, Dragic, and IT. Yeah, they went from all the point guards to no point guards. Yep, classic Phoenix Suns. But yeah, he just needs to, he really needs to attack the weaknesses in Miami's defense. And that starts at the point guard position. Right now. So also what we could see maybe is Wes Matthews, if they put him on Jimmy instead of Chris, Wes Matthews just needs to, you know, whoever's on Duncan Robinson just needs to abuse him on defense too, even though he can hold his own a bit, but you know, he's a little undersized, like not undersized, but smaller. So they really need to take advantage of the matchups when they're given to them. So I don't know. We saw that sort of in a bit of the seeding games. They were hunting Lopez, like Brook Lopez mismatches. I guess Robin Lopez too. Robin Lopez just doesn't exist anymore, apparently. But Brook Lopez, just whenever he's matched on a smaller guy, just feed him the ball, get an easy foul or 2 points. But they just really need to attack Miami's backcourt. They really need to attack Miami's backcourt. So that requires Eric Bledsoe playing really, really well. Which, you know, isn't too like much to ask for considering how he's been playing so far in the postseason. Tonight, I guess I didn't even touch on Eric Bledsoe in regards to this game. But he only had 10 points, 3 for 7 from the field, 2 of 5 from threes. So he wasn't really focused on attacking the rim. He only drew one shooting foul. And he did have 8 assists, which is a lot. Chris had 7. So they were dishing the ball, but we really need Eric Bledsoe to be aggressive in terms of his own scoring. Like him and Wes Matthews. Wes Matthews, after, you know, not having, after, sorry, having really good 3-point shooting in the first couple of games of the series. Went 1 of 7 from deep. So hopefully this is just a one-off, but so he can get it going. So it's just the backcourt for Milwaukee, I'm trying to say, is going to be really, really important for this team. I guess I can give predictions. I think, as the great Jordan Tresky alluded to on Twitter, this is the first time the Bucks are matching up with the Heat in the playoffs, I think, since the infamous Brandon Jennings win in 6, I think. So it would only be right for the Bucks to really win this series in 6. I think Milwaukee is going to face a challenge here. Miami is going to win at least one game, probably 2 games. So I think a solid win in 6 prediction is, I think it's fair. I still think I think Milwaukee is still clearly the better team. It's just a matter of, can they take advantage of the right matchups? Or is their mentality of, we have to play our way, is that enough to beat this Miami Heat team who poses a lot of challenges for Milwaukee? So yeah, I'm just going to say they're going to win in 6. Hopefully the Bucks don't get swept, which is what happened. I don't know. It's so funny to me that win in 6 is such a historic thing in Bucks lore. And then they just got swept that series by LeBron's Heat. Like, it's just amazing. It's the most Bucks thing ever. But yeah, I guess, yeah, win in six, I think, is a good prediction. And I guess we'll see who they would potentially face in the conference finals, as Toronto and Boston get started on Sunday, I'm pretty sure. So that's definitely going to be a fun series. I think I still want Boston to come out of that matchup if I'm in the interest of Milwaukee. So because I still think Toronto's defense poses such a big challenge for Milwaukee, and I think the Bucks match up with Boston so much better. So I'm gonna say that I'm rooting for Boston. That just feels gross. Can I just have both of those teams lose? It's just, I don't want to say I want Boston to win, because I never want Boston to win, but I don't know. It's going to be a fun series regardless. It's just a basketball fan. So I guess we'll see that, and we'll see what happens with the Bucks in their series against Miami. I think that's all I have. I think, yeah, I think that's all I have for today's episode of the Eurostep. I hope you enjoyed this solo little excursion. I certainly have enjoyed it, kind of. So, I mean, not kind of. I did enjoy it. It's fun. But it's so much better when Ty is on. And I think we should be good for a post-game pod on Monday after game one. In regards to this episode, I'd like to say thank you for listening. If you did enjoy, please leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you tell your family and friends about the show and check out all of the content being put out across the Blue Wire Network. Like I said, we hope to be back with you after Monday's game one against Miami. But before I let you go, got to talk to you guys about our longstanding partner, Bet Online. As you guys know, the NBA and NHL are going for the gold as they play in the playoffs in their respective bubbles. And our partners at BetOnline have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. In addition, the MLB season is pushing into the fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports, and remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.